you'll have communion after lunch. Each and every one is invited to stay and take part, that is in faith and order, and good standing in our own church. Those that are not, welcome to stay and watch. Speak of what takes place, and I'm glad for you stay and watch. But those in faith and order and good standing, we're invited to take part in. Also, we're glad to have Brother Wayne Goodwin with us this morning. Most of you know him, have heard him. He's serving in Monticello Church, and I'm sure the brothers will want me to invite you to come to the Monticello Church on the first Sunday. And one other thing, you gentlemen, if you brothers feel more comfortable without your coat, feel free to take them off. Thank you.
We welcome all our new faces this morning. You come to do, we welcome them all to be with us.
We're glad to have our visitors with us that's come to visit with us today. We appreciate your presence and the effort you've made to come out and to worship with us. We have some here for the first time, I believe. Brother Harris' daughter-in-law said that was her first time, so there may be others, and we appreciate your presence, and we hope that you've come praying for the meeting, that the Lord will meet with us and be one in our midst to own and to bless. It's a great privilege. The older I get, I realize more and more that what a privilege and a blessing it is to be able to rise up in the morning and to wait on yourself and to be able to get out of bed and dress yourself and then go and assemble yourself at the house of the Lord and to lift up your voice in praise and thanksgiving to Him who is our Maker, who is our Husband, and who is our Redeemer. And there are multitudes of people that do not have a desire to do that, evidently. So I count it a great privilege and a blessing, not only to have a desire to do that, but the opportunity to. So we, if you will, turn to number 150, page number 152, hymn number 379. You may stand if you like as we sing and as we go to the Lord in prayer. We hope you'll pray with us and for us, that the Lord will bless the service and bless the sick. We're glad to have Brother Harry from the rest home here with us this morning. He's not been able to come lately, and we're glad he's able to be with us. And there are many more that are sick and in the rest homes, and we want to remember them in our prayer. Hungry and faint and poor, behold us, Lord, again. Assemble at thy mercy's door,
thy hand, O Lord.
Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow our faces towards the Mother Earth in which Thou hast formed us. But we lift up our hearts in thanksgiving and praise to Thee for the bountiful blessings of life that Thou hast bestowed upon us, thanking Thee again for this another beautiful day that Thou hast appointed, for Thy wondrous power that doth uphold all of Thy creation, for we live and move and have our very being in Thee. We thank Thee for the bountiful fruits of the earth that sustains our natural bodies, for this wonderful country, for Thy providential grace that brought us into the world and this place, that we might enjoy the bountiful blessings of life. So much above so many that's born into this world, Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercies and for Thy loving kindness that has drawn us unto Thee through and by Thy beloved Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name once more we come pleading not our own righteousness, for we know we have none of our own, but the righteousness of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us, who turned Himself over into the hands of wicked men, that He might suffer and fulfill Thy will and fulfill the covenant plan that hast redeemed Thy people from sin and from iniquity, and brought us again, O Lord, in favor with Thee, that we might come to Thee this morning and call Thee our Heavenly Father, and feel the freedom to approach unto Thy great throne of grace. Feel like indeed, if not deceived in our hearts, that we are the sons of God by Thy marvelous grace. Thanking Thee again for the redemption in Christ Jesus, for the church which is the pillar and the ground of the truth that tells us about this wondrous redemption, for Thy inspired word that Thou hast preserved for us down to this present time, that we might look into it and we might feel the witness of Thy blessed Spirit in our hearts as we read and we hear Thy word preached. And now, most holy Father, as we come once more to this time when Thy gospel is to be preached to Thy believing children, we pray, O Lord, for Thy ministering servants all over the land this day, as they stand up to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and look into the precious promises contained in Thy word. And this our dear brother, as he comes, O Lord, Brother Duane, to speak in Thy name, we pray Thou would give him the liberty of his calling, give him a fruitful mind, loosen his tongue, O Lord, that he might look into Thy treasures, that he might feed Thy dear children, that we might lift up our voices and our minds and hearts in faith and thank and praise and worship and adore Thy great and wonderful name for all the many blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us. Lord, remember us in mercy. Bless Thy word as it goes forth, for we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. O Lord, we pray for the sick and the afflicted, for the rulers of our land, as Thou hast commanded us. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Brother Duane, continue to pray for him.
Certainly it's good to see each of you this morning. It's good to be back here at the Church of Reedsville. It's good to see all the familiar faces and friends, and it's also good to see those faces that I've never met before, and hope that while I'm before you that you'll continue to pray for me. I do desire an interest in your prayers, and I need your prayers. And also, I know Elder Draper would also appreciate that. But we need the prayers of one another also. We need the prayers of those we love, for I find that in numbers there are strength, especially with the Lord's people. This morning, a portion of scripture that's upon my mind, and I must confess that I have heard it preached before, and probably Sister Opal and Brother Richard, those folks from Parkview, have heard it preached before, because that's where I heard it preached. Heard my dad speak upon it. And I don't know where I'll go with this, and if I don't go anywhere, then I hope I got enough sense to go back there where I came from. But this here portion of Scripture is found in the 2 Samuel, found over in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And it talks about a situation, as Elder Draper mentioned in his prayer, talking about the covenant. The covenant that was before the foundation of the world, that was between God the Father, and God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit. We find over in 1 John chapter 5, I think verse 7, it said, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. This covenant here that we're going to be talking about in the 2 Samuel is a covenant that was made between David, King David, and Jonathan, the son of Saul. This covenant is a representation, or it's a picture, or a type of the covenant. It's going to allow us to look in for a moment and see in that covenant that they made between those two men. It will be a representation or a type of the covenant that was made between God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We want to notice here that David, after he has become king now, and Saul and Jonathan have been slain, not only Jonathan, but all of Saul's sons. We want to look at this covenant and see what the covenant said between David and Jonathan. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 20, we find there that David in the 14th verse, and it said, "Thou shalt not only," Jonathan speaking here, he said, "Thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one, from the face of the earth." So that was the covenant that David and Jonathan entered into, that while Jonathan lived, that David was to always show the kindness of the Lord to Jonathan, and not only to Jonathan, but also to his house. Now we remember here that Saul and Jonathan and his sons were slain by the Philistines. They were slain in battle. And David later on becomes the king of Israel. And David here, it said that he was already king, and it said, and David said, here he is going to remember that covenant that he made with Jonathan. And my beloved, today we stand in hope and we stand in fear of a God who is all-powerful, almighty, and has all things in the power of his own hand. And we stand in hope and we stand and live today because he has remembered that covenant that he made with his son. David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? My beloved, today we live in hope and fear of our Lord and Savior, and we live because of that kindness. We live because of the kindness that God the Father and that covenant that he made with him. We want us to look at David here. David is a good representation of our God, our Almighty King. And he says here, is there any yet left in Jonathan's house that I might show him kindness? Is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? My beloved, today we live and have our being, live, move, and have our being because the Lord, because God himself has had kindness on us for his own son's sake. There's that covenant. And we want to look at this covenant because whenever he goes to get this one, David poses the question there because he's not forgot that covenant. And thanks be to God that he has not forgot the covenant that he made with his son before the foundation of the world. He says here, and there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And Ziba, when he heard, they called David, called him unto him. And he said, art thou Ziba? He said, thy servant is he. And he said, is there not any of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan yet hath a son which is lame on his feet. Does that not represent the children that we stand in today? We too were lame on our feet. That covenant that David had made with Jonathan, there was yet one there out of the house of Saul that was lame on his feet. And you as God's children and me as in hope of being a child of God, I have to declare that we are indeed lame upon our feet. Like old Mephibosheth. That's who I'm going to speak on here in just a moment. I want to get to Mephibosheth. Said he was lame on his feet. And the king, let me ask you, does not the Holy Spirit know where God's little children are? He asked him, he said, where? He said, is there any left? And yes, old Ziba, he knew exactly where the child of God was. The Holy Spirit knows exactly where the child of God is, as old Ziba knew where that house, that servant, or that son of the house of Saul was at. And that son there, that son, and the king said, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, and I want you to notice here, he went to get him. He sent the messenger unto him to get him.
God whenever it pleases him and whenever the fullness of time has come. And he's not 1 minute soon and he's not 1 minute late. He'll send that spirit and he'll born that little child again of his spirit. But he sends for him. And notice that Ziba did not tell David here the name of the one who was of the house of Saul. I thank God for that. Even though we see it here, and I'm sure he told him, it's not recorded here because it's a good picture of our God and our Savior. Because I look down here, and whenever they brought old Mephibosheth to him, he said this to him. They found him in Lodabar. In Lodabar, the land of Lodabar, here was a servant that was lame on both feet. And Lodabar is a land with no pasture. It's a barren land. And indeed, the land was, there was nothing to eat. My beloved, whenever we were found, that reminds me of old Jacob. Jacob didn't go seeking after God. And you can rest assured that here, after Saul had persecuted David and sought after him and ran him like a scared rabbit, that here, being of the house of Saul, Mephibosheth was not looking for David. People say today, well, if you'll just look for God, well, us being lame on both feet, and us being just like old Mephibosheth, we too were not looking for God, but thanks be unto God that he remembered the covenant that he had with Jonathan. And he sent his messenger to get him. Now here, in this time that they lived in, whenever one king came into power, it was not uncustom for him to slay the whole household of kings and sons and daughters of that king. But David here remembered that covenant with Jonathan. Can you imagine how old Mephibosheth felt when they brought him before David? Do you reckon he was scared? Do you reckon he deserved to live? Do you think he thought he would live? It said whenever Mephibosheth came to the house there, it said he fell on his face and did reverence. And David and Mephibosheth, David said unto him, he said, Mephibosheth, he called him by name. There is nowhere recorded here that the name was ever given to David. But I thanks be unto God for that. Because I look at a time whenever Moses went before God over in Exodus chapter 33. You'll find there, whenever he went before God to beseech them, he reminded God, he said, thou hast said, I had known thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Here was Mephibosheth. David, there was nowhere recorded that David was ever told his name. But God inspired it to write it like this because he always knew our name. He knew that servant's there's name. He knew the son of Jonathan. His name was Mephibosheth. And David, all it says there in that little sentence, and it said, David said Mephibosheth. That's all he said. No more and no less. He called him by name. We go over and find out in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We go over to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, and there he talking, Jeremiah speaking there, and the Lord talking through Jeremiah. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I ordained thee and sanctified thee a prophet unto the nations. And here, whenever Mephibosheth comes before David, all he does is call him by name because he knows him as one of the heirs of that covenant. He knows him as a part of that covenant. What else do we see in that? Whenever I see that there, that's shouting ground, brothers and sisters, because our hope and all we have to live for is that God, through his own mercy, and because of the covenant that he made with his son, hath known us by name. Hath known us by name. He said, Mephibosheth, just like he told Moses. Moses told God, he said, hast thou not said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Yes, indeed. We've found grace in his sight. He hath known us by name. I also go to a verse of scripture over there. We want to come on down here because I'm going to apply this also to a verse of scripture in John. We find there that whenever Mephibosheth, David called him by name. First of all, David sent his messenger unto him and got him. He brought him unto himself, and then he called him by name. And this is what Mephibosheth says. And Mephibosheth said, behold thy servant. You reckon Mephibosheth was scared? You reckon he was trembling? I'm here to tell you, whenever he came before that David, the King David of that land, the one that could have barely gave the command and been off with his head. Yes, sir. This is Mephibosheth, and here he is. What did he have in himself at that time? Did he have healthy legs that he might be a servant in the house of David? No, sir. He had nothing. He lived. He came out of a land that was barren and wilderness. There was nothing to eat and no pastures to feed upon. But old David here, whenever he comes before him, he says, "Behold thy servant." He's paying homage to David. And David, the first word out of David's mouth, and David said unto him, "Fear not. Thanks be unto God." Whenever grace is revealed to one, it comes to one of his children. Whenever he's quickened again of what his spirit, God's spirit, the very things that I love the song of Amazing Grace. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Here he says, "Fear not." Like old John on the Isle of Patmos, whenever he saw him there high and lifted up, he touched John and said, "Fear not. For I am the first and the last, and I'm he that was dead, he that liveth and was dead, and behold, am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." Yes, sir. Fear not. And David, that king, said, "Fear not," to Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth said this. He said, "For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake." But I want to go back to that. I want to go back to that because I go over to John chapter 10, verse 27. And it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life." No, excuse me. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I want you to notice here that David sent that messenger down there to get Mephibosheth, just like the Holy Spirit will quicken one of God's children into this, into a new life, into spiritual life. He sent his messenger down there to get Mephibosheth. He brings him back, and what happens there? He calls him by name. There he is. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." David didn't go down there personally, but he sent his messenger and with the words of David upon him. The words of David, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He called him Mephibosheth. That doesn't mean that that's just whenever he began to know Mephibosheth. That doesn't mean that whenever God quickens us as one of his children, that that's just whenever he learned our name. In the mind and recesses of all eternity, God has known us by name. But my beloved, he hasn't known us as a child until we are born again. Then there's a new relationship. There is a new relationship. And what was the next part? "And they follow me." What did Mephibosheth say? "Behold thy servant." David here is such a beautiful picture of how we were. We too were out here just like Jacob in a waste howling wilderness. We were not seeking after God, it says, but God found Jacob. God found Jacob. Mephibosheth wasn't seeking out David. David sought out Mephibosheth. Because of a covenant that was made in eternity. You reckon David knew anything about that covenant? We go over and we'll find David talking there about his own household. He said, "Though my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And it is all my desire and all my salvation, though he make it not to grow." That covenant is ordered and sure in all things. That covenant that God made with his son was ordered and sure in all things. It is ordered and sure, and it will not grow by one, and it will not diminish by one. David knew something about that covenant. What about that covenant? That's whenever that covenant, I see that in John chapter 6, and I've quoted it 100 times. "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me." When were they given to him? They were given it to him in that covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. You go and see, look at David in the 139th Psalm, and you'll find there that he writes, he said, "Thine eyes did see my substance." I'm going to have to just turn to it because that just left my mind as fast as it rolled in there. It said, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." That book was written before there was any of them. And I'm here to tell you, my beloved, that book and that covenant is ordered and sure in all things. And it will not add one to it. It was written before they were there, and it will not add any after it either. But here, notice that Can you imagine? I wanted to look at Mephibosheth. Here he is lame upon 2 feet. He can't walk. He can't crawl. How was Mephibosheth lame? He said that whenever he was 5 years old, whenever he was a child, that he fell. That he fell and he caused himself to be lame. My beloved, our father Adam, whenever he took of that fruit in the tree, that fruit in the garden, there he fell. And because of him, we all fell with him. And we were, just like Mephibosheth, lame on 2 feet. On both feet, had nothing to present ourselves. Why should David even have mercy unto Mephibosheth? There is nothing in him that could even serve David. But David said this about him. He said, "Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Continually. To me, I see in that the preservation of the saints of God. They'll eat at the bread of my table continually. That doesn't mean just some today and maybe some tomorrow. That means as long as Mephibosheth lived, he would eat at the hands or the table of David forever. Have we not been brought by the covenant of grace into a table? Yes, we have. We'll eat in eternity. We will be there in eternity with him forever because of that covenant that he will remember for his own son's sake. That bread continually. And Mephibosheth, whenever, this is what he asked David. He said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Can you relate to that? Have you ever been felt before that you've been brought in the presence of the king?
Amen.
Have you ever felt like you've been brought in the presence of God Almighty himself, that you felt his presence with you? And all you could say was like Mephibosheth, and there you sat, lame upon both feet. And all you could say is, "What is thy servant that thou should look upon a dead dog such as I am?" Mephibosheth is a beautiful representation of a child of God. That covenant between Jonathan and David is a beautiful representation of the covenant between our Heavenly Father and his Son. And brothers and sisters, no doubt, Mephibosheth ate at that table continually. Not only that, he called Ziba and his servants to go out into the fields and to till those fields, to feed Mephibosheth all his days. I'm here to tell you, God's children have been fed. They are fed all their days. May God bless you. I'm sorry I've scattered it like a shotgun blowing it out here, but I hope and trust that you'll continue to pray for me and pray for Elder Draper as he comes before you.
Well, we certainly appreciate what Brother Duane has set before us. And I love those texts that sets forth the omniscience and omnipotence of our God. It tells us that he is not defeated. That particular story is always precious to me. I was thinking as I was looking at some of the members from Danville Church here today that years ago when I first began to speak, Brother Elder Kidd invited me up, and I came up one weekend when you were in the old church, and we spent the night. We were there Saturday afternoon.